And with any luck at all, because I've got some very strange signs from my mixer from the next room to see whether it's working or not, it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And it's working. I can hear you guys in there.
Do you want me to turn something down, or they can't hear you? Oh,
you have the headphones on, guys? Okay, well, have Ann put hers on, too. We do have This Week in the Lakeville Journal. We'll welcome in Janet Manco. Janet, good morning.
Good Hello. Morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now. Yes, we can hear you now. And and we have Alex Wilburn in. Alex, nice to see you. And it's a nice... Anything.
Oh, they're not hearing?
Oh, yes, I do.
Yes, they are. Jill's in there trying to adjust things.
Okay, I can hear.
When Jill, Cynthia's not here, it's all in a muddle.
I know. Really, what do we do without her?
I know.
I have no idea.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, hi, Marshall.
Hello, Ann.
Hi.
Hello. All right, so we're all in. We're all settled.
Hi, Ann.
We're ready to go here.
Hiya.
All right, let's go right to the front page. And... the story by Willie Yon, the middle school sports program. We've talked about this for a couple of weeks.
He's been following it for a long time, yeah. And there's still more to come. So the middle schools of Region 1 voted to consolidate their individual athletic programs for a regional program. Four schools voted yes, and then Kent was one of the two schools that voted no, and they may seek a way to drop out of the program entirely. So... the story is not over, and Willie will still be covering it.
It's an interesting story that something needs to be done. What needs to be done, I have no idea. I think what would have been better, and Kent would have stayed in, if they said, we're going to put this on, and we're going to try it over a two-year period, see how it institutes and works, and if it doesn't work, we'll find something else. Because it's the great unknown out there. How much travel time? How are you going to get from school to school? There's so many different things that you don't know until you try it.
That does seem to be a big worry for Kent, being one of the farther schools in Region 1.
It's a worry for all of them. But you know what? I guess they just push comes to shove. You only have 300 and some odd kids at the high school. You're going to need,
true.
If you want to play a full athletic schedule, you're going to need more kids participating.
And for all activities, you know, the students in East Canton and South Kent, they're pretty far away from that school, but, you know, they deal with it for all other activities, too, if they want to do anything.
Yeah, so like I said, this doesn't seem to be something that's workable, but you never know. It could work out, and they have to try something so the students can play athletics in grammar school and be prepared for high school. They got to try something, so let's hope it works. Now, what could cause us with their own mental health problems with that. But you've got a great story on the front page from Deborah Alexinas about mental health aid.
Two new executive directors actually on the front page. The first is for Greenwoods Counseling, which is a 27-year-old organization that was started in a church in Litchfield, and it helps connect people with mental health professionals if they're in need. And then right down below is a new director for Great Mountain Forest, which is a 6,000-acre teaching forest between Falls Village and Norfolk.
You know, it's funny. Whenever I read public service announcements for them, I get people calling me and say, Great Mountain Forest. There's still people out there that don't realize the programs that they put on over the course of the year. They put a lot of programs on 12 months a year.
We try to cover them as much as possible.
But I just think it's one of those things that just the name of a Great Mountain Forest, people just don't catch on to the fact that they've got a lot of great learning programs that's offered basically free or no charge to the public. It's a pretty amazing place. Well, under the picture of the snow, what better person to have the story on other than Vladimir Putin?
At Scova Memorial Library, a retired Soviet diplomat spoke about his personal experience with Vladimir Putin. I really shouldn't give anything away. It's an interesting firsthand account.
And he lived to talk about it.
Right.
So it must have been...
right here in Salisbury.
Yeah. I know. The school library is doing a lot of these great great programs. All our libraries are throughout the whole region.
Yeah.
Going inside, first of all, a beautiful picture, the Eagle Watch picture. That's pretty
amazing. I didn't know which photo you were going to say, because Betty Scribner is 104 years old and still looks completely luminous.
That picture, and also
the bald eagle, which was spotted over Mudge Pond in Sharon, and was such a good photo. We just had to share it.
All right, I'll tell you, it's nice to see people hitting that century club. I feel like I've hit the 2-century club in my body, as a matter of fact. All right, we go on to North Canaan. At the pop-up, one of a kind gifts and goods.
The artisan shop really does have the goods. They have handmade soaps, pottery, handmade charcuterie boards. It's a lot of really good stuff. And then right below, one of our new writers, Sam Foley, went to Stadium Systems and made the point that just because it's winter and you're shopping for Christmas gifts doesn't mean you can't buy sports goods for the warmer months to come.
All right. Nice picture of Nick Gandolfo there. And the North Canaan Elementary Veteran Service was held on November 26, actually.
This was a really nice story by Cynthia. It was 15 military veterans who were honored at North Canaan Elementary. It's the Air Force, it's the Marines. And they just had a lot to share with the students about all the places they traveled and really all the support they received once they returned.
Right.
All right. We are lucky around here. I get my sneakers, by the way, from Stadium Systems. Stadium Systems is one of those local merchants that seems to have survived Amazon.
It's one of the few, and I really do encourage you to read Sam's story. He had a great, fresh take on it, and it's great to have new young writers at the Journal.
All right. I want to move on to the Kent page because there's a pretty big meeting coming up, and I've been following this, the cell tower site. And
yes,
it still amazes me that people to this day don't understand, and they have a right to be concerned, but that really the state has such a huge say of where cell towers can go.
There is a big meeting coming up. There are two proposed cell tower sites in Kent. One is a vacant acre on Bald Hill Road, and the other is on Richards Road. And if you're interested in having a say and learning more, you should really go to the town hall in Kent on December 13th at 7 p.m.
And the interesting thing about these towers is these towers aren't incredibly tall towers. They're about right around 170, 160 feet tall, which is right about the height of our tower that we have on Route 22 in Millerton. So these aren't the huge, gigantic cell towers that people see around, not even the pole one. So it's going to be interesting to see which cell site they choose, and if it can go, you know, it has to get to the state. Once it gets to the state, it's pretty much always approved.
Mm.
You've got exotic delights from around the world.
So Jeff Kennedy spoke to Noel Embry about traveling to collect all the goods and all the antiques that he has in his Kent store, foreign cargo, and he really tries to, in an object, capture the individual aesthetic of each of the countries he visits.
And above that, I interviewed Tim Good, who's leaving. It's the Kent Chamber of Commerce. He was president for, I think, I've been talking to him for years. But the Champagne Stroll was held this past weekend.
I photographed the Champagne Stroll, I think, 2 years in a row. I'm happy to pass it on because it is a lot of work to cover. But the town is always really lit up, and it's packed, and it's a lot of fun to go.
Now, who's your headline writer? There's a word here that we don't hear used a lot, convalescent home.
Well, that is what the Roberti family actually were proposing, and that's what they were calling it in Kent. They wanted to open a center for sober adults who are making the transition back to everyday life after being in recovery, and the town has decided that they could not go through with that. They cited that commercial activity could not take place in a residential area, and linked it to what is called a halfway house. But the Roberti family really did propose it as a convalescent home, so we're using their language.
No, it's just one of those terms that seems to have fallen almost like a derogatory term, you know, that has fallen by the wayside in recent years. Because I'll be honest with you, didn't we used to call convalescent homes all nursing homes and convalescent homes?
Sure.
I mean, and we can't even call them nursing homes anymore. it's just how political.
They're nursing facilities. You know, there are different levels of care. Mm-hmm. And legalisms, you just never know what you'll find that are still in use and really meaningful.
All right,
when it comes down to, you know, whether they get approvals or not. Mm.
Absolutely. In the Falls Village Cornwall page on the top, Patrick Sullivan, there you go, holiday gifts, everything for the angler, plus comfy chairs and a fire.
Well, comfy chairs aside, Patrick is truly wise when it comes to fishing. So I would say whatever he instructs you to buy, you should just go out and get it. And if there's anyone who really adores fishing in your life.
And there's tons of people that adore
That's
fishing.
True. Idea, I mean, we tons. All have at least one.
Yeah, Patrick will always find the most economical way to do it, as, you know, a New England fisherman would.
Well, when it comes to fishing and clothing, Patrick was in the Bargain Barn a couple of times when I was there. Yeah. And man, does he just knows how to pick and match and put together.
So that's for sure.
He really
both
does.
Things. Nice story by Lila Hawken. Once again, the 150th library. And then you've got the nice picture of the kid that read the excerpts from the letters.
Dean Sicardi, who is a freshman in New York who came back during his break to read. So Cornwall had a literary night. Right beside that, they had a variety show. They had a trivia night. And these were all by Lila Hawken. So it was a busy week for Cornwall. It was a busy week for Lila. If you just follow these stories, you can see what she's been doing.
Well, she had not only that, but once again, they brought back the entertainment and the variety show.
Yep.
Which, according to you, your paper had close to 200 people see it, which is now an outstanding mm-hmm. amount of people to show up. And then trivia night, night as well. All right. Now the benefits of reading. You've got a picture of Tessa Decker there at the Lee H. Kellogg School.
Yes, there's a celebration of the hundreds of combined books that the students of Lee Kellogg had been reading outside of school. And Patrick snapped that really great photo of Tessa, just head in a book.
All right, now I turn the page and to the Salisbury Sharon page, and there's a picture of Ed Kirby in East Canaan Furnace in 2016. Once mm-hmm. again, the amount of research and books he's written on the Wild West and about our area are amazing, and I love the headline there, "No Rust on This Man of Iron."
So much has been written by Ed Kirby and about Ed Kirby, but this is a special piece because Bernard Drew wrote about how Ed Kirby's historical writing had influenced really his own personal projects. Bernard is a history writer as well, and so this is sort of a hero to him, and it's a really nice piece.
Anyway, and like I said, I've known Ed my whole life, basically. I went to school with his kids. They were my brothers and sisters. He's an amazing guy, and there's not much of a difference in his looks from 2016 to now, I can tell you.
I think it's the mustache. I think it keeps him young.
And once again, we want to remind people that in Sharon, it just caused a little of a mini stir. But the tree lighting and ceremony will be at the War Memorial. And before, you can go to the Hotchkiss Library. Mm-hmm. And after, you go to the Historical Society. And next year, we'll all be able to frolic on the green again.
Yes, a small break from tradition.
Yeah. We'll get pictures of that frolicking, no matter where it is.
You know what? I think people were surprised at such a good job that that crew did on the green and how, mm-hmm. how quickly they got it done. They still don't realize that you just can't go on it when that much work has been done and it's reseeded. It really does have to hold for the winter and come out in the springtime. Yeah. But so I just think people thought that, wow, these guys finished the job so quick. It's not that way. And more gifts. Alexander, you're on the docket here, Stocking Secrets for the Man in Your Life.
I did write this one. This was a bit of a personal story for me. My brother-in-law came up last Christmas, and I was in charge of shopping for his stocking, and I had no idea what to do. And Salisbury Pharmacy really did save my life, and I got everything I needed there. It is a surprisingly luxurious store, and they really do keep up with all of the New York trends in terms of having a luxurious general store.
And right below that, we want to mention this because it's a big day to save money if you have a family that likes to ski and skate. The Salisbury Winter Sports Association has their skate and ski sale coming up on Saturday at the Lakeville Hose Company. If you want to donate things, you have to donate them by tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But that is always a madhouse, and the Lakeville Hose Company there is also there with I do believe coffee and donuts and stuff for people. But that's just an amazing event that goes on there. It really is. To benefit SWASA. Let's go on to the viewpoint page here, Janet. We'll do the first of all, we'll do the editorial, which we talked about already, but really it's a solution that is worth trying. There's nothing out there to try. So I think that this had to go forward. Whether it succeeds or fails, they'll learn something from it for the next proposal if it doesn't work.
That's exactly right. That's how we see it too. And you know, there are many ways to look at solutions to the problems that are coming up in this area because of a diminishing population, and the schools really have a challenge. But boy, the presentation of this middle school sports plan was just really well done by the, I'll say her whole title, Region 1 Middle School and High School Athletic Director Ann McNeil, who, you know, proposed all of this and, you know, carefully researched it and carefully, you know, she lived it and carefully discussed it with each of the towns at their board meetings. So we do hope that these towns will give it a chance. And as you say, Marshall, you know, give it a year or two and see how it goes and learn things from it. And, you know, maybe this will be a solution for a while. No solution is permanent, by
That's
the
right.
way, you know,
but you
no matter what.
You'll learn by trying. Sometimes yeah. there's no other way around it. You just have to learn by doing it.
Yeah, it'll get the more. This seems to be a solution that will get the most kids the chance to participate in sports, and that is the goal, right?
All right, I like the Steiner cartoon. He's my this could have qualified for me when I was in school. He's my son, yes, but we're only met a few times. Frankly, I hardly know him.
That's right. What's his name again? Young Donald.
Young Donald. But I just think to myself all the times I had more seats on more benches than you'd ever imagine.
Right. Good training.
Yeah, Chris Powell. His Connecticut's wrong to be carelessly discarding his historic rights.
Right. Chris Powell writes a couple times a week, and we often go through what he has written for a week, and sometimes we are able to use what he writes, sometimes we don't. This week we decided to put together several of his thoughts, which he does put multiple thoughts in each column, and a really important topic for that first part of this column, the historic right to know is critical to the health of our state, and he makes the case as to why. He also talks about the pension debacle, which we've all heard about for years, and super important to the fiscal health of their state. And a couple of other things, including grant a visa, save a life. It's a really interesting story about a Torrington businessman, so don't miss that. And we have Bill Schmick on finance required minimum distributions may change. Anyone who knows what those are should definitely read this because it's important. And Tony Peel, part three of his pieces on John Paul Stevens' proposals to amend the U.S. Constitution.
All right. A few letters, but once again, I always have to give at least one quote from Turning Back the Pages.
Yeah.
And the one for this week is, Clarence Fowler of Winstead recently visited his cousin Ward Dean. It's nothing sacred.
That's right.
Damn
That's
the inquiring right. press.
That's exactly right.
It's great to look back at those stories. It really is.
It is, and we are glad that Norma does it. She can always seek out the names that will be familiar to those of us still around here, and it's just always fun to look back.
And I can't go past it without on page A10, the picture of Mrs. Claus in Santa's workshop.
Yes, the classic.
Yeah. And above that, a man, a house, and history.
Oh, G.L. Nelson is the former owner of Seven Hearths, and he painted these incredible life-size portraits of himself, his wife, his friends through the 20s and 30s and 40s. They were up from the Historical Society this summer, and if you get to see them, they're really worth it. They're really spectacular paintings.
All right, we have about 4 minutes left. We have plenty of time for Compass, and the picture by Tom Zetterstrom is something we all envisioned just a couple of days ago.
Yes, and it was hi, Marshall. Hi, Jill. It was taken in the 70s through his windshield. But we all know Tom Zetterstrom as the
tree.
Person who preserved and reintroduced the American elm, and he founded the Elm Watch, which has really brought back the American elm to this area. But he's an artist, and all these photographs that he's showing at the Five Points Gallery in Torrington were shot on film, and these are big, luxurious, spectacular prints. The opening reception is tomorrow night from 6:30. Oh, gosh. Anyway, the opening reception is tomorrow night. You can go on the website for Five Points Gallery, and it will give you all the information. We also have a very spectacular show at Hotchkiss, and it's kind of a window into the world of an artist. Cleve Gray, who's an internationally known artist, is from Warren, Connecticut, and he's a Hotchkiss graduate and a father and grandfather of Hotchkiss graduates. But his reputation is international. And this show is not set up so much as a show of the paintings, but as a show of how an artist works. So there's notes and sketches, and it's like walking into someone's mind. So I would highly recommend that show at the Tremaine Gallery at Hotchkiss. It's up through January.
I like the story you have, Anna, on the Lebanese cooking demonstration, which filled the White Hart Inn in about 3 minutes after it was announced.
I know. It's just gone. I mean, I wanted to go. I don't even think there's a press pass available.
No.
But when I heard that she was doing this Lebanese dinner, the Lebanese taverna at the White Hart, this is Zaina Mejio. I'm not sure how to pronounce her name. I'm going to call her Baroudi because she's married to Lloyd Baroudi. And I can pronounce his name easily. But I did ask her to do an interview, and then she said, well, you know, it's sold out. And I said, well, let's just maybe share one of your recipes for those people who are not going to get to go to your taverna. So there's a terrific recipe and a little story about Zaina and what she's up to.
Now, talking about flavors, on the very next page, infusing vodka. My father is rolling over in his grave. He drank about a half gallon of vodka every other day, and it was Smirnoff. So he would be beside himself with all these changes. Now,
I know. Straight vodka is better for guys like that. But this one is a really nice recipe about how vodka can be holidayed up by putting oranges and cranberries in. I think vodka's a tasteless thing, but once you put a little bit of flavor into it, then it becomes a refreshing holiday drink. There's a nice recipe, and there's also, this is by Caitlin Olinger, she gives you a little bit of history about what vodka is.
You know, my father always used to say that it was tasteless, and as kids, we'd always, once in a while, let him line up some vodka and some water, and my mother and grandmother would go crazy as we'd drink a shot of water and a shot of vodka. I can tell you, to me, I could tell when it was vodka every time.
Yeah.
No, I don't think this is vodka. Maybe we'll try it again, please. You've got a nice regional hometown holiday shopping segment in this segment as well.
Yeah, there's everything that's happening in the hometown. There's schedules of Christmas carols, Christmas fairs, everything that's happening. We also have a packed calendar this week, yeah. So I don't know how much more time I have, but make sure you look at calendar. And the thing that I'd like to promote here is the Sweet Haven Farm Holiday Workshops at this new building in Lakeville called Cobbler's Corner. It's an old building that's been repurposed, and there's a pop-up shop in there. It's right on the corner by the Patco where it meets Main Street in Lakeville. Noreen Driscoll is doing workshops on how to make wreaths and centerpieces, and they're really fabulous. We also have a book review by Cheryl Kennedy of a book about a Vietnamese refugee who grew up in a poor neighborhood in Hartford, Connecticut. It's a beautiful book. It's won all sorts of prizes this year. And then we also have a story about how to cleanse the spirit of your house by burning sage.
All right. Well, on that note, we've burnt up our time.
Okay.
They're going to come
and
sage
we won't
the studio.
Sage. Right.
Of course, the Lakeville Journal on online at tricornernews.com on Facebook and Instagram and at your newsstands. We'll speak to you guys next week.
Thanks. Have a good week.
All right. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. Once again, tricornernews.com on the web.